All right. Again, we're following along the storyline of the Old Testament right now, and we're towards the end of Genesis with this wonderful story of this man, his brother, his son named Joseph. Right, he was Jacob's favorite son, and one of the things Jacob did to kind of show that he was a favorite son, he gave him a special coat. It's a coat with sleeves, they say. Someone was asking about that. No, I don't know why. But since a coat with sleeves, I don't have that coat, but we'll go with this one. How's that? Because now I'm special like you are. Or maybe I'm more special than you. But that was the sense that he gave out of 12 brothers, just won the coat. I mean, that's going to really play well, isn't it? Of course they're going to be jealous. Of course they're going to be angry and not like this guy. And of course, Joseph didn't help himself. Because he got these dreams. He's out in the field and he was collecting these wheat bundles. And they were putting them in, they call them sheaves. And all their, his dream was that all their sheaves bow down to his. Now remember, in the ancient world, you know, you get up, you don't think this dream was from God, right? You think this dream was from the random trash of my brain. And it's producing stuff that I don't get. But back in the ancient world, dreams were from God. So they really took it seriously. And then he has the second one just like it, where their stars bow down to his star. So he was kind of in your face with he's special. Kind of arrogant, full of himself, kind of sort of thing going on there. So the brothers one day, of course, he's going out to see them in the fields. And they see him and say, oh, let's get rid of this guy. We are so sick of him. They were so jealous and angry. They were really enraged. And so they grab him, they take his coat off, and they throw him in a pit. And they argue about what to do. One wants to save him. Another, most of them just want to kill him. And Judah comes up with the bright idea, let's sell him into slavery. There's a great option. Well, I guess it's better than being dead, huh? And they take his coat, and then they have to, of course, have a cover-up. It all comes with a cover-up. So they shred the coat up really good and make it look really tattered, and they dip it in blood, and they bring it back to Daddy and say, look what we found. And Dad says, he puts it together for him. They don't even have to tell him the story. He puts it together, oh, that's my son Joseph's coat. A wild animal must have ate him. And so the cover-up works in its way. And I listen to a story like this, and it's such a marvelous story, and you go, well, why is that story in the Bible? There's no talk of God in there, of God at work, or God doing anything. In fact, God kind of seems missing through all this stuff. You know, we often think that what happens is God's kind of up there watching us. He's got these, like, punishing lightning bolts ready to go, huh? And he sees you mess up, and he goes, whoop! Right? Gets us for it, you know. So why isn't God at least punishing these bad people for what they're doing? God didn't punish them. Doesn't say much at all about that. In fact, they seem to get off the hook on this one. There's no consequences. You know, I remember Moses, remember when he got mad and struck the rock when he wasn't supposed to strike the rock? And God says, in punishment, you're not going into the promised land. I think of the poor guy who stuck his hand up to steady the ark and was struck dead. Because he wasn't supposed to touch the ark, even though he was steadying it, trying to keep it from falling. And so we have these punishments going out there. We can kind of start seeing God like that. Like, you know, God's kind of out to get me. But not in this story. In fact, if anything, it kind of leaves us wondering if God's there at all. Well, as I think of our world today, I think that's kind of where we're at. Often with our struggle with God. You see all these bad things unfolding, people behaving badly out there, whether it's things like, father's favoritism, Joseph's his arrogance, his brother's hatred and jealousy, they're selling him into slavery and their cover-up, all that deceit and things that went on with that. And you say, God isn't in that. That's wrong. That's evil. And we look out in our world, we read our newspapers, or we make TV shows out of this, or big screen productions out of this sort of thing, and go, well, where's God? I don't see anybody getting hurt or getting punished much for this stuff. I don't see God sending lightning bolts. You know, some people, of course, say that. I remember after Hurricane Sandy, it was very sad. I always thought, oh, this huge hurricane, someone's going to make hay out of this one, of course. And they did. And they said, well, that's God's punishment on the Northeast for their bad sins. And I thought, well, baby, open that door. I mean, there's all kinds of things wrong with that. But the biggest one for me is a hurricane that comes into shore, and One of the biggest affected areas was Staten Island, which was rather modest and poor housing there. You mean God picks on the poor, the elderly, the children that live in this housing, and is so indiscriminate in punishing people? I have a problem with that kind of God. Well, say we don't buy that, but it still leaves us back to, where is God in this? Where is God for you when all this bad stuff's going on? Missing? Well, I listened to the story, of course, and we know that God's working in the background. God's somehow turning things around and working in the background, and it's even as heavy and as awful as it is. We find out at the end, of course, where Joseph's in front of his brothers, they've been raised up in Egypt to this wonderful place, and he says, "You guys intended it to me to harm me, but God used it for good." As Joseph looks back at his life, he realizes this. He sees this happen. And it's really a rather remarkable thing to say, because that is implying that even the awful things that happened, God was at work behind the scenes, bringing him somewhere. Now, that's really hopeful, though, isn't it? Because there's a lot of bad things happening now in the world. We look out at the political scenes, we look out at the business and the international scenes, and go, man, there's a lot of things falling apart. There's a lot of risk. It could even get a lot worse, and we're nervous. And we wonder, is God missing? And God's saying, no, I'm still going on. I'm not up there with lightning bolts trying to punish people from heaven. But maybe behind the scenes and among us, the movement of the Spirit is going on precisely there. And it's not to punish you. It's not to punish someone or make their life miserable. It's really to make it work out for good. It's a story of God's grace unfolding among us. And just for us, let's take it on another level, because this had to do with Joseph's family, our own families. How many of you got a little conflict in those families? People not getting along, people not talking to each other anymore, people hating each other, jealous, someone kind of full of themselves. Any families got one of those? Someone showing some favoritism, and things really unwinding, people doing bad things because they have all these things going on. And imagine that behind the scenes, God is working there, trying to find a way and an avenue to bring up hope, to bring us back together, to bring some healing to us. That God's grace is working behind the scenes for us. It gets me thinking of the verse, a very pretty famous verse out of Paul. Paul's writings in Romans 8:28, it goes, "All things work together for good, for those who love God and are called according to their purpose." It's an incredibly hopeful verse. It's an incredibly hopeful verse. And I want to put a couple just caveats in there. Not all things are good, no. All things work together for good. And the last one I want to say is ultimately. Because sometimes we don't even see it in this world, how things work together for good. We don't always notice it. And the thing I've noticed about this verse as well is it's not something you should generally apply to somebody else's life, especially when they're in a bad spot. They don't want to hear this. I mean, when Joseph's getting hauled off for slavery, he doesn't need a smiley person to come up, "You know, Joe, this is going to work out for good." Not helpful. He's probably going to have a fist if it's free and come up and get you. Rightly so. When we're grieving, when things are falling apart, it's hard to hear this. We're not ready for it. It comes around. Remember, Joseph only got it at the end. He looked back and saw, you know, even this bad stuff has worked out. Somehow, this has worked out. Well, Joseph, of course, is of the Old Testament characters, one of those that really, if you will, foreshadows what we see happening in Jesus Christ. They intended it for harm for Jesus, what they did to him. And the litany is really tough ones when you think about how that works in your own life. Of course, it starts out with Judas betraying him. Betrayal will get you, won't it? The other disciples abandon him, flee away. The ones he supported on, they just run away. That'll get you. When your going gets tough and they flee. They falsely accused him. Anybody suffer from false accusations? And that feels awful. And then they falsely convicted him. Make it worse, and it's a capital crime, of course. So that's even worse. And before they deliver on the punishment, they mock him and they whip him and they leave him out there publicly to die by the gate. Of course, that's all humiliation as well as great suffering physically. They intended for harm, and it was harm. But in the end, God turns it around and raises Jesus up from the dead and says, you know, here's the one who's going to rule for you. And he brings forgiveness and grace for you when you're going through it. He knows. God knows. And he wants to clothe you, if you will, just like Joseph was clothed with this fancy coat. So he wants to come and take care of us, his family, to clothe us as beloved children. Make us know we're always beloved. So in this week ahead, as you're going around, as you're facing things, some of them not very good or easy, maybe it's not time to listen to this verse, but I hope somewhere in there, you know, that God is at work. Maybe you won't see it for a while, but that God is at work for good in your life, and that you're a beloved child that God will surely deliver. Surely God is watching out for you, forgiving, gracing you, and bringing you back to life. Amen.